Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I am your host, Doug Wortham. On today's show, we'll check in with the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We'll learn about the Lower St. Croix Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and get an update from the Command Senior Enlisted Leader of the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. Now here's Major General Sean Mankey.
In 2011, the Minnesota National Guard partnered with the Minnesota State Fair for their first Military Appreciation Day. Every year since, the Tuesday after opening day has been designated Military Appreciation Day. After a successful first year, the number of booths doubled and the number of volunteers tripled. In the years since, participation from our community partners and corporate sponsors has continued to grow. This day as a fair offers something for everyone. Family members, friends, service members, and veterans are encouraged to enjoy free live entertainment, reunite with fellow military members, and visit the dozens of educational booths from agencies and nonprofit organizations who support Minnesota's military community. The Minnesota National Guard is proud to participate in this annual event, and we hope to see you this year at the Great Minnesota Get-Together.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me in the studio from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System to give us an update about the Food Pantry Initiative is Rachel Hammer. Rachel is the director of the Center for Development and Civic Engagement. Rachel's been with the VA since 2016 and is currently working towards the completion of her master's in healthcare administration. Rachel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Happy to be here.
Glad to have you here. And we're going to give a little bit of a tease right now. You've brought a special guest with you, but we're not going to bring that familiar voice back into the onto the radio just yet. We'll save that for the next segment. But I definitely want to spend some time talking to you and talking about this food pantry. Now, we've had you on the show before. We've talked to other entities that are supporting this food pantry. And, you know, it's been quite successful, I understand. We're 4 months into it now. And I'm hoping that you can tell us a little bit about where things are at and how things are going over at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System as it relates to the food pantry.
Yeah, so one of my colleagues came on about a year ago talking about the food pantry and where we were at in planning for this. And at that time, we really had a big idea about where we wanted to go with it, and we're hoping to unfold for our facility. And at this time, we recently launched in May the food pantry to serve a veteran community. It's open every third Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we're really excited about that. We have served to date about 500 veterans and have issued about 16,000 pounds of food.
And so, you know, the idea, you said that we had someone on the show about a year ago. We first started talking about it. I know that this isn't just a Minneapolis initiative. This is on a more broader scale nationwide. But what do you see as the driving reason as to why you need to provide this type of a service over at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System?
Yeah, so food insecurity is an epidemic that has been affecting our veteran community as it is households all across the nation. It impacts about 10% of households, and in our veteran community, anywhere between 8% and 21%, especially our OEF, OAF members. So what we saw here is that we are screening on average between 500 and 700 veterans positively for food insecurity, and that we needed to have a way to address that because we were giving them resources out in the community, but we didn't have a way to issue them food at the VA and no way to give them food in hand when they were coming to us and in desperate need.
When you talk about food insecurity, does that mean that they just don't have any options for getting food? Is it like they have limited options? What do you classify as someone who's dealing with food insecurity?
Sure. So food insecurity actually has a broad definition. It can be something as simple as worrying about where you're going to get your next meal, to having no food at all, and temporary access to food or long-term access to food. So it's really about being able to live a sustainable life, and with food being that source that you don't have access to or a way to access on a regular and sustainable basis.
And would you consider access to maybe healthier food choices then, yep, as a part of that insecurity?
Correct. Healthy, nutritious, sustainable food.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So you said that we know we're 4 months in, so you offer this one time per month. You said it's the third Tuesday of the month, and you've already serviced how many veterans?
500. So on a monthly basis, we're averaging anywhere between 120 to 140 veterans. And then in total, 500, issuing about 16,000 pounds of food. So we're giving about 30 pounds of food per person.
And maybe you can just talk a little bit about, that expectation, right? So if someone's listening to the program right now and they say, you know what, I feel like I have some food insecurity, and they come on that third Tuesday to the VA, they walk in and they say, hey, I'd really like to get some food. What can that person expect when they show up and they greet you or one of the volunteers out at the VA healthcare system?
Sure. I'd love to talk about the veteran experience. So when they come in, we want to make this situation as welcoming as possible and create as few barriers for them to have access to that food. So when we first designed it, we thought, did we need to be asking a lot of questions or determining what eligibility they had? And we realized that we just needed to really take away all those boxes that were preventing us from getting those veterans access. So really all they need to do is state that, they're a veteran, and they don't need to provide us any sort of identification or a driver's license or their veteran ID card. Some people don't have that with them. So they just need to state they're a veteran and that they need food. And then they can come through. They check in with us. We give them the opportunity to see, talk to some of our resources. So if they would like to check in with a social worker or a dietitian, maybe they have some questions about their needs, their social work needs, or maybe they have questions about their dietary needs, they can meet directly with those social workers on site. We also have other resources available, such as chaplaincy. We have suicide prevention available. We also have the enrollment there if they have questions about their benefits. So just a lot of available resources and individuals that want to give them the things that they might not necessarily have if they're not normally connecting with their health providers.
So what I'm hearing, and I think you all have used this type of a term, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but kind of that whole health look or approach to one of the persons that come in. We're trusting when they say they're a veteran that they're a veteran, so come in and get the help that you need. But, oh, by the way, let's not just solve this one problem right here, one issue that could be short-term. Let's take a look at maybe some of the other things, underlying problems or other areas in which you can get some assistance from what we know is a great healthcare system at the VA.
Exactly. Our social workers are looking at things that day in their assessment, things like transportation, if they have childcare needs. Do they need a phone? Are they having challenges with their housing or utility bills? So it's things that they might be having challenges with right in that moment that the social workers can identify and connect them to multiple service lines within the facility, and that they can walk out with a plan.
Yeah, I think that's a great approach, right? We want to help to create some sustainability with those that we're supporting when they come in their time of need. So, Rachel, what we'll do is we'll take a quick break here. We'll come back because I want to talk about, some of those support elements that go into helping you, because you can't just do it alone. And then we'll also bring in the special guest that you had tag along with you today to share a little bit about their opinion on the food pantry. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We will be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In the studio with me is Rachel Hammer, who's the director of the Center for Development and Civic Engagement over at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We're talking about the food pantry. And I want to close the loop on one thing before we talk about, you know, what other entities are supporting you. We're talking about this during the break here. And you want to be able to connect veterans to other services that the VA provides. But it's all at the choosing of the veteran, right? So we can reassure people coming in that, don't worry, you're not getting strong-armed?
Yes. Yep. So, you know, some individuals will kind of peek their head in and they'll just want to be checking the situation out, and we'll ask them, are you here for the food pantry? And they'll just say, no, we're just looking. And we say, okay, you know, we're not, you know, car salesmen trying to make a sale. We are hoping they come in, but we understand that this can be an intimidating situation for people, and also admitting that you are food insecure is also not always something that people are comfortable doing. But sometimes we also see those individuals show up the following month once they've, you know, heard about things or become more comfortable with the situation.
Yeah. So we know an undertaking like this is kind of a big one. You can't do it alone. So who do you partner with, and how are you helping to keep this going? Because we're only 4 months in, but I'm assuming this is, you want to do this long term.
Yeah. So the biggest partner that stepped forward for us in the initial phases was the DAV. They gave us our first monetary large infusion of monies that helped us to really understand that this was possible for us. I think money was something that was giving us a lot of anxiety in the beginning of how could we make something like this big happen. And so they came forward and said, we will give you enough money to get this going, you know, essentially for the first year. And that enabled us to have a conversation with Second Harvest about partnership, and then also open the door to all the amazing donors that Second Harvest utilizes. But additionally, you know, all of that, we were able to be on the, you know, TV and speak to a lot of different organizations, community partners, corporate partners, et cetera. And we've had so many in-kind donations and monetary donations come in from individual donors and organizations, which has been really amazing. We're also blown away by the number of individuals who want to donate their time to this. It is a big undertaking, mm-hmm. the day that the order comes in and then the day of the pantry. Just the energy that everybody brings to get the pantry going and then, you know, execute it on the day of. We kind of started doing this buddy system where a veteran comes in and then a volunteer kind of shops with them through the process. And so it's really a really big process. So it's just an important issue for so many, and they just want to be part of the solution in tackling this issue for veterans.
Well, it's great to have those partnerships, and you had mentioned, you know, the in-kind and monetary donations, and I want to bring in the person that tagged along with you, because this is a passion project for Mr. Tom Lyons, who, Tom, well, one, it's good to have you in the studio with us. And I see you're way across the studio on the other end there.
And the guest chair. I don't know how this works over here.
Yeah, but so, Tom, this is an area where you have a big passion for this. And when this first started coming up through the show here, you jumped on it right away. And you've got some thoughts about the food pantry. And tell us a little bit why it's so important to you.
Well, this all hit about a year ago when Rachel was in here and we were talking about it and learned about the VA's desire to deal with food insecurity for our veterans. And I understand there's about 11% of those that are food insecure on some basis. And the whole thought of having fellow veterans out there that didn't have enough to eat and maybe didn't have enough money to be eating the right things. Remember way back in college where we had spaghetti and ketchup? I mean, that's not a very good diet. So I went home and talked to my wife about it, and we decided that when they're ready, we want to help. And, of course, I've been in business for over 40 years, and I've got a lot of business guys and fellow veterans that have done pretty well for themselves over the years. So I'm getting ready to talk to all those guys and email them and tell them about this food pantry out at the VA, VA Veteran Food Pantry. The whole idea just appeals to me a great deal. And my family, my son was in the Navy. We talked about this, and our family's going to support it. And the other thing that, I've been thinking about over those years is, I think I shared with you at lunch before, there's one organization that my wife and I have been donating to for 25 years. We went online and sent them a small donation, $25 a month, and it just hits our credit card every month. And I just shut it down after it went up for many years because I'm going to switch over to another payment method. But there's ways to do this that are painless. And to me, if I can do something like that and have 25 or 50 or 100 bucks a month hit my credit card and it goes out to the VA and it helps feed other veterans, that's something, that's a no-brainer. That's something I have to do. And then, Doug, you and I also talked about when you get to a certain age, and I'm a Vietnam veteran, so I'm getting there, you have to take what's called RMDs, required minimum withdrawals, from your retirement accounts. Well, when you take those, they're taxable. That's taxable income. You got a government and the state wants their share of that. But there's a wrinkle in there that if I pay a charitable donation straight out of my retirement account into the charity, and this qualifies as that charity, then that's deductible from that taxable income that I'm taking out of my retirement account. So there's a tax advantage way to do this. And so I'm getting kind of revved up. I have been for about a year. I'm going to reach out to all the guys that I know and gals and families and try to get them to do one of those two kind of methods of donation, because one question we didn't ask Rachel is, this isn't limited to just the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. You want to expand it.
That's correct.
Yeah, and we're gonna hear a little bit about that when we talk about future supporting, because we know you want to get out to these CVOCs and help to get some food insecurity solutions in place out there too. But Tom, just real quick, because we only have a couple of minutes left. But one, we spoiled the surprise to all of your business partners. They know they're going to get a letter, a phone call from you.
So some of them already know, Doug.
And then number two, as with all things, right? Hey, go see your tax person, right? But what Tom's talking about is exactly right, and I had the same conversation with my financial advisor to make sure that I do the same thing, right? Because we want to limit our tax burden where we can, and if you can do it and support a great cause, why wouldn't you? So
very important. Talk to your wealth manager. Talk to your CPA. Make sure you're doing it right. But if there's a tax advantage method, I think we're better at directing our funds and where they should go than the government is.
Yeah,
No self-respecting veteran wants to find out there are other veterans in their families that are food insecure. That just hurts my heart. We've got to work on this, and Rachel may kick me out in a couple of years, but I'm going to do what I can to help.
So, Rachel, you know, how does it make you feel, right? I mean, obviously, you've had these conversations with Tom already, but, you know, this is just one example of someone that this is a great passion project or item, you know, something that really touches Tom's heart. I know there's more out there.
Tom obviously has communicated this to me several times via email and in person, and it is a huge passion for so many. It is just the outpouring has been amazing, and it is because this is something that really can be addressed with enough people's help. And if that help comes in, then we can really address an issue that is just really, you know.
So we mentioned kind of you're expanding a little bit. So maybe, you know, in this last minute and a half here, where do you see this going? How are you going to get food items out to the community-based outpatient clinics?
So, you know, Minneapolis VA is not the only place that has food insecurity. This is, as we talked about, a national issue, but Greater Minnesota is definitely an area that food insecurity has, come forward and talked about the challenges that they have. I've talked to veteran service organizations who have asked, you know, how can we help address this issue? One of the challenges that we have at our outpatient clinics is largely due to space. So hoping to connect with the community leaders, veteran service organizations, you know, churches or whoever may be partner on utilizing space to hold these food pantry organizations, together so that we could hopefully execute something similar.
Doug, before we run out of time, they don't have to wait for me to put the arm on them. Go to the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System website, click on Donate, and you can direct it to the food pantry. Let's do it today.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point, because I was going to ask you where people can go, but Tom stole my thunder, which that's good, because this tells you you've got a person over there that is very involved, and you can definitely hear the passion in his voice. So we know real quick, September is Hunger Action Month. You're doing a food drive. And so people can go to the same website to get information or call your office at the Center for Development and Civic Engagement.
Yes, or they can come straight to the Minneapolis VA and donate in our blue buckets that will be at all of our entrances.
All right, blue collection barrels out there at the Medical Center, September Hunger Action Month. So please support that. See your advisors, your financial advisors, see how you can support some of that income that you'll have post-retirement. And Rachel and Tom, it's great to have you both in the studio. Rachel, thanks so much for sharing and doing the work you're doing out there to help our veterans who have some type of a food insecurity issue.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us here on Minnesota Military Radio. Tom.
Doug, you're doing a great job. Keep going.
Thank you so much. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. Up next, we'll learn about the Lower St. Croix beyond the yellow ribbon. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Brad Lindsay.
If you've served honorably, are a Minnesota resident, and are interested in higher education, you may be eligible for education benefits in Minnesota. The Minnesota GI Bill provides post-secondary educational assistance to eligible Minnesota veterans currently serving military, National Guard and Reserve members, and eligible spouses and children. The Minnesota GI Bill can reimburse out-of-pocket costs for professional exams, licenses, and certifications. It also provides financial assistance while training for a career or trade through an on-the-job training or apprenticeship program. For full eligibility requirements, contact your local county veteran service officer, call 1-888-LINK-VET, or visit minnesotaveteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me on the phone is John Tetzloff. John owns Tetzloff Yacht Sales. He's been a member of the Yellow Ribbon Alliance Lower St. Croix since 2015, and he's been the chairperson since 2020. John, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. Wish you were in the studio today, but it's good to have you on anyway. We love talking to our Yellow Ribbon Network entities, and I thought maybe we could just do a little bit of background here. Your father was a veteran of World War II.
He was. He served in the Army during World War II and was discharged in 1945.
Yeah, and then I've got a note here that says, your mother took care of seven children. Wow, what a workload that was.
It sure was, especially me. Of course, I was the angel of the family.
Of course you were. At least that's what we'll continue to tell everybody,
there
right? So your dad serves in World War II, so we appreciate his service. You know, you go on, you told me that you didn't go on to serve. You obviously went in the business. You've got the yacht business. But at some point in time, you got linked up with or started getting involved with this Yellow Ribbon thing, that being the Yellow Ribbon Alliance Lower St. Croix Valley. So maybe you can just tell us a little bit about what got you involved.
Well, like you had mentioned, I did not serve, and always appreciated what all those heroes have done for us. And, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you take that first knowing breath of fresh air, you can thank our heroes for that. And I saw an ad in the paper over here by the St. Croix River in one of those cities that we help. And it said they're looking for volunteers. And right away, my wife and I said, bingo, let's check into that and see what we can do.
Well, and we know that if your wife says you should probably do this, you're going to do it, aren't you?
It was done yesterday, the day before.
Yeah, there you. It wasn't quick enough.
No.
So, John, we appreciate the support that you give and you get involved with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. But can you tell us a little bit about the Yellow Ribbon Alliance Lower St. Croix Valley? What is it? How do you guys support the military community?
Well, you know, it's five cities. You know, it's Lake St. Croix Beach, Afton, St. Mary's Point, Lakeland, and Lakeland Shores. And, of course, if someone calls from out of the area, we don't turn anybody down. Either we're going to help them or we're going to find somebody that can help them. And what we do is we've got a family in Lakeland. The little guy was born with a brain tumor. He's 8 years old now, and we really help that family out a lot. It really tugs at a lot of strings there for what we do there, and Christmas presents and dinners and all kinds of things. And we give away scholarships to area high school seniors that have a military history or background in their family. We go around and build ramps for, challenged folks who can't get around without a wheelchair. And we do a veterans dinner for Labor Day or Memorial Day. We do all kinds of things.
And, you mentioned it touches and pulls at your heart. You know, you mentioned the young child, right? I mean, I would imagine seeing the appreciation that is expressed once you provide that assistance, this has got to really touch your heart.
Well, it does, but you know what? We don't want any pats on the back. We just want to go out there and help our heroes that have given us the opportunity to live in this great country and do what we can to help them out.
Well, and you know, that's a great attitude to have, right? You know, don't do it for the glory. Do it because it's the right thing to do. And, so people, they call up. How do they connect with you, though, if they're looking for some assistance or maybe they know somebody who needs some assistance? How would they connect somebody with you?
Yeah, well, we have a Facebook page, Yellow Ribbon Alliance, Lower St. Croix Valley, and we have a website. So and either one of those sites, they can get in there and send an email or make a phone call and contact us.
Now, one of the things I want to make sure that we talk about before we end this segment is something called the Field of Bands. What is the Field of Bands, and how can people get involved in that?
Well, the field of we call it the Randy Kapeski Field of Bands, and we put the year, so it's 2024. Randy Kapeski was the person who started the organization for us to help, and he we lost what Randy in 2020, unfortunately, and I was voted in to take his place. Although I can't do that, but I'm going to do the best I can. With all those things that I mentioned that we do for our heroes here locally, we do this. That Field of Bands, it's an event where we have four bands. We have a beverage garden or beer garden, whatever you want to call it. We have vendors. We have food trucks. And every penny that we make at that event then goes towards all those things that we do to help our local heroes. And, tickets for that are it's fieldofbands.com. It's real easy. You can buy tickets there. They're $25 in advance, 35 day of the show. And there's a VIP section there where you can pay more, get up close to the action and get swag bags and all kinds of stuff.
And so you said that this started back in 2020. And what day is it on this year?
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's on September 21st and it starts at noon at Washington County Fairgrounds, which is out towards Stillwater between Highway 36 and 94.
Well, so you obviously have latched onto something that means a lot to people since, you've been doing this for a few years now. How have you seen it kind of grow? What's it been like for you from day one to what it looks like now?
Well, it's actually the fifth time. I think 2019 was the first one. And then we had, for COVID, we had to take a year off. So this is actually our fifth one. And it's grown every year. The first year, I just assumed that we would put the word veteran in there and everybody would show up. But it's a little bit more work than that. There's, people are so busy these days and sometimes they don't realize the sacrifices that our heroes have put in. And so we got to get out there and educate people. We got to, and advertise more. We work with KQRS. They help us out a lot, and so it's grown every year. And last year we had over 1,000 people, and this year we're shooting for 2,000. And eventually, we like to be at U.S. Bank Stadium, where we can help the whole state and maybe the 5-state area. You never know.
Yeah, right. And what did you say the website is to get tickets?
It's fieldofbands.com.
Yeah, no, that's great. We'll drive people there. Now, what if I can't go to Field of Bands, but I still want to try to donate some money to your cause? How can I get money to you or to the Yellow Ribbon Alliance, Lower St. Croix Valley?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, we have sponsors for the event, and if you wanted to sponsor this event or anything else, you can go to that website, and there is a page on there that says sponsors, and there's different levels that you can do. And depending on the level you do, you get all kinds of recognition online and at the event and everywhere else. And if you just want to make a donation, there's a place on the website to do that, too.
Well, that's great. So you've been involved for a long time, and, you know, again, tell us, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to you to be involved in something like this and give back to our heroes?
It's the right thing to do. I mean, so many people just take it for granted, and when they wake up in the morning and they either go to work, they're retired, they go to school, and they don't think any, they don't think past that on how they're able to do that in this great country that we live in, the greatest country in the world has ever seen. And there's so many of those folks out there that have sacrificed the ultimate sacrifice, or they've came home and they're just not the same person that they were when they left. And what I tell people when I get up in front of them and I start out and say, you know what, I wish I wasn't here. And I just let that sink in for a second. And then I say, I just wish, and I'm sure you do too, that our folks would come home and they would just be taken care of. And there wouldn't be a need for a yellow ribbon or anything else, that we would put these folks on a pedestal where they belong, and we take care of them.
Wow. Hey, this is a great point, John. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll just talk a little bit more about the Yellow Ribbon Alliance Lower St. Croix Valley. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We will be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. On the phone with me is John Tetzloff, and John is the chairperson for the Yellow Ribbon Alliance Lower St. Croix Valley. John, you're talking about some great stuff in the last segment, fieldofbands.com. Go there for people that want to go out and listen to some great music. Also, they can go there to sponsor, sign up, do some donations and things like that for the cause. You said that... you know what? People should be involved because it's the right thing. And I agree with you. It's the right thing. And I'm just wondering, from your perspective, what are some of the needs that you have with the Yellow Ribbon Alliance Lower St. Croix Valley where you would really love to see people get involved?
Well, we need volunteers. Some of our core volunteers are now getting older and are ready to retire. So we definitely need some core people in the main group. We also need volunteers for Field of Bands. It's a one-day event, but we need people before. We need people the day before and the day after. There's a lot of things that need to happen, and so we just need volunteers. And if they volunteer, they get in for free. They get a free T-shirt. They get free food, and they can stay for the entire event, and then they get that good feeling that they just did something good.
And if they want to volunteer for that event, would they also do that through fieldofbands.com, or would they connect with you some other way?
Nope, they go right to fieldofbands.com, and there's a sign-up genius on there, and they can sign up just specifically for Field of Bands. And then there's another area if they can sign up if they just want to volunteer for other items or other things throughout the year.
Now, this is your major event for the year, right?
Correct.
So, I mean, obviously it takes funds, and so, you know, people can donate through that website again. But are there other some, like I would say, some other events that you have going on throughout the year where you're doing some additional fundraising, or do you see that the rest of the year is really about providing those resources to those that are in need?
Yeah, well, the big thing to bring in money is for that Field of Bands, and that's where we generate all our funds, and then we distribute it, and like I said, through scholarships or meals, or we do a big veterans dinner where we invite everybody in that five county area, again, or five city area. And again, we're not going to turn somebody down if they come from outside of that area. Everyone, you know, is invited, and we usually get a couple hundred people for that, and they come in for a free meal, and they get to chit-chat with everybody. We play the music from the different Army, Navy, that thing, and it's great to see the veterans stand up and salute when their song is played. It really, really makes you feel good when you see that happen.
Yeah, I bet it is. And you know, in my experience, whenever you do the service songs, there seems to be one branch in particular that always makes the loudest noise. And I'm just wondering if you could confirm for me who that is at your meetings.
Would that be the Marines?
It's always the Marine Corps, isn't it? yeah, they're always barking. But you know what? It's great to hear that, and it's great to see that. You know, you guys are supporting and doing what you can from your corner of the world to take care of our families and our service members in their time of need.
Exactly, and I thank you for that. And again, we're not looking for a pat on the back. We're just looking to help some people.
Well, we appreciate that. So fieldofbands.com is the place to go. Get all that information. It's the 21st of September, but you can find out information there for volunteering and other donations. So, John, I really appreciate you taking a little bit of time to come and share with us about what you're doing down there at the Yellow Ribbon Alliance, Lower St. Croix Valley.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, John, thanks for joining Minnesota Military Radio. Calling in from an undisclosed location in Minnesota is the command senior enlisted leader of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson. Chief, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, it's good to be back on the radio. I'm not the co-host, but I'm still happy to be on the radio.
Yeah, and what a fun show that was to have you and the rest of the chiefs in. It's always great to spend some time with you all and just hear about what's going on inside of our Minnesota Air National Guard. And I kind of think that's a great spot to start. You just returned from a little bit of a trip to visit some of our airmen that are serving somewhere else. Tell us a little bit about that trip.
Well, it was very fun. So General Mankey and General Blomquist and I were fortunate enough to go visit some troops who are deployed and to see them in complete action. And what a great group of airmen, great leaders that are out there really, really working hard to get after their wartime skills, honing things up, and just great attitudes, really. They were all very positive, happy to see some friendly faces, and still working hard on the mission. They're just at the halfway point, so we told them that, hey, put your eyes back on the prize and keep working for 45 days or so, and we'll see you when we see you.
Yeah, and so are these Chief Mikitin's troops?
They are, and Chief Mikitin, I believe, is heading over there next week or so to visit them. He and his Colonel Aista, the wing commander, are both going to be there.
Well, that's awesome.
So they wanted to give like, some time to be with the troops. And I will tell you, General Mankey had just an absolute blast. And if you are on Facebook and you look at the Minnesota National Guard Facebook page, you'll see some great photos of that trip.
Well, it's always great to see, troops in action doing the job that they've been training for. And, you know, and especially in that environment, right? This isn't Camp Ripley. This is real world now. Yeah. And so really they get to affirm the skills and the training that they've been going through. So good stuff there. Glad you got to visit the troops and glad you're back safe. But that wasn't the only traveling you've been doing. You went to a big conference recently as well. What was the conference and what went on there?
Well, it was the Enlisted Association of the National Guard, INGUS, we like to call it. We just wrapped up the national conference yesterday in Detroit. And there was probably 12 Minnesota Guardsmen that were there, a mix of Army and Air. And what a great group. A lot of people working on some of the resolutions that we're wanting to carry forward. Many of us worked in the committees. And then we also had an airman there. Our soldier couldn't attend, but we had somebody there for professional development. And that's really the key of what we like that INGUS conference for, is getting our airmen and soldiers there exposed to what it takes to legislate and do these things to get changes across the National Guard.
And this must be a great networking opportunity as well, right? So all of the different National Guards, the 50 states, 4 territories, I assume come together for this national conference. And so you get to meet many of the other key leaders in the other states as well.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely, and it's a nice reunion time because you get to see some of the retirees that you haven't seen for a couple of years. So it's just great to reconnect with them. Jason Ross, the SS Senior Enlisted Advisor for the state, he and I were both able to be in attendance, so that's really fun when we're both senior leaders can be there. Chief Schumacher was there from the 133rd. So, I mean, we had a really good mix of Air and Army, both leaders and mid-level and a couple of retirees as well. So it was just a great week and just feel like we got a lot of things accomplished.
Well, glad to hear that. In the last minute and a half here or so, Chief, you know, every time or every year about this time, as a matter of fact, as we are recording right now, the Great Minnesota Get Together is kicking off. And, you know, this year for Military Appreciation Day, there's a special theme. And so I'm just wondering if you can remind us what the theme is and then tell us whether or not you're going to be there.
Well, you know, Doug, as General Mankey always says, you recruit the soldier and the airman, but you retain the family. And really, this is our chance to recognize our military spouses who give so much for us. You and I both can speak very clearly to that. We've had supportive spouses throughout our careers. So it's our opportunity to recognize those military spouses. There will be a special ceremony there at Dan Patch Park. Tag will be there with his wife. I just got called off and I'm going to be in D.C., so I won't be there and I won't be able to recognize my husband, Jeff, but he was kind of happy he didn't have to go up on stage, I'll be honest. But this is a really, really good opportunity. You know, the Military Appreciation Day, when you come down and you see Dan Patch Park filled with all these people that just have resources for you, that's really the key thing that we want people to come to the state fair for, is to come see what resources are there for you as a veteran.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. Well, you travel safe to D.C., and if Jeff does go to the fair anyway without you, tell him to stop by and see us, okay?
Yeah, maybe you can call him on stage and pin him for me.
There you go. All right, Chief, have a great rest of the day. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
That is the Command Senior Enlisted Leader of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson. Before we close out today's show, I'd like to say thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us to send us your thoughts. Be sure to join us next week to hear one of the two shows we are recording live from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. We're recording on Tuesday, August 27th between noon and 3 outside of Dan Patch Park near the KFAN booth, so stop by, say hello. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have served and continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.